Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the NVPE investor call. At this time, all participants are in the listen-only mode. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. If you require any further assistance, please press star zero. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Peter van Der Hey. Thank you. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this special NVPE investor call. This is Peter van Der Hey, and I'm here today with Paul Daggett from Neuberger Berman, the chairman of NVPE, William Maltby, and our lead independent director, Wilken van Hoogenberg. The presentation we'll be using today is available on our website, www.nvprivateequitypartners.com. Before we begin, I'd like to point everyone to page two of the presentation, which provides some important comments about forward-looking statements. I'll now hand it over to William to begin. William?
Good morning, everyone. This is William Maltby, the chairman of NVPE. It's hard to believe that only 6 to 7 weeks ago, the share price was above £12, and we were trading at all-time highs. And our discount was approaching single figures, and we were really pleased to see that because it had been at a stubborn 20% plus for years or more. And we felt the actions that the board and the manager have taken to narrow the discount over the years were really working. And we're particularly pleased because we had quite recently significantly ramped our investor relations and marketing program. But obviously the world's changed in the last couple of weeks, and the uncertainty has caused shares in the listed private equity sector to take a hammering. And we, of course, have been caught in that storm. And I wanted to just say today that the board of NVPE shares your frustration at the share price. We're owners of the shares too. And we want to explain today what actions we're taking and try and offer you some reassurance about what is happening in these uncertain times. And just before I go into the detail of slide three, I want to remind everyone of the changes in the board composition that have taken place over the last year. Two out of the four of us independent directors, Wilken von Hoogenberg and myself, joined the board about 12 months ago. And we assumed our roles, in Wilken's case as senior independent director, in my case as chairman, about 6 months ago. And both of us were directors of listed private equity firms during the financial crash 13 years ago. And I hasten to add, neither of the companies on which we were on the board of got into trouble at that stage. They did suffer from the sort of share price falls that we've seen in NVPE's case recently. And I'd like to particularly say that the NVPE is benefiting from Wilkins von Hoogenberg's experience, who was CEO of Deutsche Beteiligungsgesellschaft, who some of you will be familiar is one of the leading private equity firms in Germany, and came out of the experience very successfully. Now, whilst the script and what's going on in the background is rather different this time from the financial crash, I think the board is familiar with what actions are needed. And we also know that if we get this phase right, we also know how speedy and strong the recovery is likely to be. And I know at this stage, and I'm going to hand it over to Wilken von Hoogenberg because he wants to add a few words.
Thanks, William. Maybe a few comments also from my side to this situation. Shall I be worried? Yes, obviously. We have not seen a black swan as this one, but I'm reasonably relaxed given my own experience. I had to direct twice DBAG through very hefty winds in autumn 2001 and the following years, and then post Lehman. There are three things which make me in this situation for NVPE optimistic. First of all, Neuberger Berman's outstanding team of professionals. They have immediately and in a highly focused manner taken all possible initiatives required to protect NVPE. I'm truly impressed by the actions initiated and the professional quality of the team there around Peter, Paul, and others. NVPE has a highly diversified portfolio, many very high-quality companies, very well selected by NB. I don't foresee a massive number of companies to die from the storm. Yes, quite a number will see headwinds, Strong headwinds partially, but that should not end in a disaster from my point of view. And also the general partners, lead investors of the deals in which NBP is invested, are world-class PE sponsors with a long track over many cycles, not just fine weather sailors. And last but not least, NBP is the comfortable liquidity position. Cash is king in these times, and we have cash available. So I pass back to my chairman, William.
Well, thank you very much, Wilken, and I'm going to take everyone to slide 3 here. And I want to give an update on what actions we've taken and where the presentation is going here today. The first thing that we've taken is to strengthen the company's capital position, straight liquidity position. And we are very focused on conserving capital. We know that, as Wilken has said, cash is king at this stage, and that opportunities to deploy it well will arise later. Secondly, Neuberger Berman is working closely with the lead GPs, our private equity managers, to assess the impact on the portfolio companies and understand what actions the GPs are taking to preserve value and maybe even make the most of the opportunities that arise. So our presentation today will focus on initially on the liquidity and the capital position, and secondly, a commentary on the portfolio. And I'm going to hand over to Paul Daggett now to focus on the liquidity position.
Great. Thank you, William. So this is Paul. I'm going to cover NBP's capital position and commitments. And I'll start on slide four of the presentation. So in December, we entered into a new credit facility provided by MassMutual. The facility has a 10-year borrowing availability period and was initially $200 million in size, with an accordion facility that could allow us to increase the size to $250 million. As we announced this morning, we've now exercised that accordion facility, meaning the facility is now $250 million in size for the remainder of its term. All of the other terms remain unchanged, and as a reminder, those other key terms are an interest rate of LIBOR plus 275 basis points, with a 1% LIBOR floor on drawn amounts. And there is one key test for the facility, which we'll go into more detail a little bit later, which is a maximum loan-to-value ratio of 45% or below must be maintained for the first 8 years of the facility, and then it declines annually thereafter for the remainder of the term. Finally, at the bottom of the page, you'll see that out of an abundance of caution, we have taken the decision to draw the facility down in its entirety, which will give us a cash balance of almost $150 million when completed. This cautionary step is in line with what many private equity-backed companies have done or are doing in this ongoing crisis, and is also a repeat of what we did with MBPE in 2008 in the financial crisis. On the next slide, I'm just going to tell you how we get to that pro forma cash balance of $149 million. And the next slides are generally intended to show you our commitment coverage that we have in place and what this means for our overall capital position. The last balance sheet we published was on the 29th of February, when we had $9 million of cash and $90 million drawn on the credit facility. Taking account of the borrowings we have since drawn and have in process to be drawn, and adding $9 million of realizations during March, subtracting new investments and cash expenses during the month takes us to the $149 million estimated cash balance that I mentioned at the end of March. Importantly, new investments in private equity are often agreed and signed well in advance of when they close and fund. And since there are many complexities in closing a private equity investment, it takes a reasonably long time typically to do that. So just to note that $27 million of new investments in March is actually mostly made up of one transaction that was agreed several months ago, but is closing during March. So on to slide 6, and showing you a little bit more of where the capital position is and also what commitments we have outstanding. We've included a cash bridge at the top of the page, which takes account of the known transactions that are currently in process. So this starts with $149 million that I just talked about, and there is $11.8 million of investments that were made through an NB co-investment program, which those investments closed some time ago, but the cash is expected to fund in the very near future. So that's about $12 million of cash outflows. The next bar in light blue is $71.3 million of pending realizations. Now, the bulk of this is in two transactions, LGC and engineering, that we've previously mentioned. Those are both announced transactions by lead private equity firms, actually in both cases selling to other private equity firms. These sales have been agreed and announced, but are contingent on certain closing conditions, which have not yet been completed, so they are still pending realizations. Finally, there's also $35 million in pending new direct investments, which, again, going back to what I said, are often signed well in advance. So these are a number of transactions that have not yet closed, and actually the majority of it is in two transactions, one of which is contingent on one of the realizations occurring. So in that sense, $10 million of those new investments essentially nets against the pending realizations. Pro forma for all of that, again, you'll see that if everything on this page occurs, then we would have $173 million of cash after all of those transactions. Some of those will be much further out than others. Nevertheless, that's the pro forma available cash that we believe we should have. And then at the bottom of the page, what we've done is compare that total available liquidity to the commitments that we have to both Neuberger funds as well as third-party legacy funds, and we've made some adjustments. Now, important to note that the adjustments we've made are even more conservative than what we've typically shown. We've really gone back and looked at, in more detail, given the crisis, what is really a case that is more conservative that we can show to you. You can see that we have $171 million in total of unfunded commitments. So we've adjusted that for the third-party funds, which are well beyond their investment periods at this point and mostly in extensions. So taking those out, as well as a few smaller adjustments, takes us to an adjusted unfunded commitment number of about $138 million. And you can compare that to the available liquidity of $173 million to see we have 126% coverage of those commitments. Just to note again, the analysis is under conservative assumptions regarding both how much is called by these funds, and also remember that a lot of these funds will be called down even in today's crisis over a long period of time. So it's not that these would be called quickly. It's more likely that they would be called over 1 or 2 years. And then secondly, it's also assuming in this analysis that over that same period when those funds are called, that we receive no realizations from our equity portfolio or realizations of debt positions other than the yield over that time period. So again, we think this is a conservative analysis and hopefully shows you that the available capital resources outweigh what we think is likely to be called on any of those funds. And then moving to slide 7, I mentioned the one test in the credit facility that we have to be in compliance with, and that is an LTV ratio of 45%. So in this analysis, we've assumed that the private equity and income portfolio decline in value over the coming quarters. Of course, we don't know what any decline will be or when it will happen, but we've just put a number of different values here for you to be able to look at and make your own assumptions. The starting point for the analysis is our February fair value estimate. What we've then done is flexed down the private equity values as we've shown. We've adjusted the public equity positions to today's publicly traded value, actually Wednesday's, well, obviously we hold cash and new investments at their face value. So making all of those adjustments, you can see from the table that our current LTV ratio is about 20%. With a decline of 10%, we have an LTV of 22%. And then going all the way to the bottom of the page, if the private value were to decline from February's value by 50%, we would still have an LTV ratio of almost 34% under those assumptions. So again, we think that that shows that certainly for the foreseeable future, that LTV ratio position is comfortable. As Peter will explain, it's very difficult to estimate what will happen to private equity valuations in the first quarter and over the following quarters, but we do think that this analysis gives us comfort that MVP is in a good position with regard to the test and also its liquidity and its commitment coverage. And with that, I'll hand it over to Peter to talk about the portfolio.
Thanks, Paul. It is early days in this crisis, and the financial impact of the coronavirus and the economic shutdown have only begun to be felt in most companies in the last few weeks. As we mentioned in our statement last week, most of our companies had a good start to the year in January and February before the dramatic shutdown that we've all been living through more recently. Now, while it's still too early to provide a forecast of how this will affect many companies, we wanted to be transparent with you about our exposures we have in NBPE so that you can be fully informed. As of the 29th of February, NBPE had an investment portfolio of about $1.07 billion. It was composed of 117 direct investments and a handful of the legacy fund investments. It's a well-diversified portfolio by industry, as you can see on the left side of page 8, and 74% of the portfolio is in North American companies. On pages 9 and 10, you can see our top 30 positions. These companies make up about 56% of our investment portfolio. The fair values that you see on these pages include the most up-to-date valuation information that we have. So some vary from the February 28th figures. Typically, the valuation information we have is as of December for private companies, and we have adjusted that by the FX changes and public stock price adjustments through March 24th. We show for each of these companies not only the name of the company, of course, but the lead sponsor, the industry, and a short description of the business. Now, as we discussed in the past, there are certain themes we have pursued when building our diversified portfolio. Certain of these themes are shown on page 11. They include technology, including industrial technology, industries with low cyclicality to the traditional business cycle, businesses supported by long-term secular growth trends, and healthcare. And we've laid out which of our top 30 companies are in which of these categories and ordered them by the size of our exposure. Now, diversification is a positive for our portfolio, but it does make it more challenging to provide detailed information on a company-by-company basis that's relevant for the portfolio as a whole. Accordingly, on page 12, we've provided data for our top 30 positions on an aggregated basis. Our top positions are weighted towards larger businesses, which typically have greater resources to weather extreme events such as what we're currently experiencing. 44% of our top companies are above $3 billion in enterprise value, 40% are between $1 and $3 billion, and 16% have an enterprise value below $1 billion. Another key metric we're focused on are the debt levels and covenants of our portfolio companies. 10% of our top companies have low leverage, that means less than 3x debt to EBITDA. 66% have covenant-like structures, and 24% have debt with covenants. Now, it's important to note, though, that the companies with covenants have substantial headroom relative to where those covenants are set, and many are in non-cyclical, more infrastructure-type businesses. Now, turning to page 13, the private equity team at Neuberger is working closely with the lead private equity managers to analyze the current and potential future impact of this crisis on each of the portfolio companies, as well as understand the action steps that the managers are taking. Now, we've been pleased with the actions that the private equity managers have been taking to date. They're doing a good job in a tough environment. The managers that we partner with are deeply experienced. As Vilken mentioned, these are managers who successfully steered their portfolio companies through the financial crisis, and they learned many lessons along the way. One thing I should note is that the managers are not being alarmist, but they are acting with urgency. We also thought it would be useful to share with you some themes that we're seeing across the private equity industry in terms of relative performance. While it's still early, the businesses that have been hit hardest include businesses that rely on physical locations or are tied to travel and lodging, businesses exposed to the energy sector, smaller businesses, or those that are less able to withstand revenue decreases, and as well, of course, businesses that were facing challenges before this crisis. Now, the businesses that are showing greatest resilience include those with recurring revenue business models, certain subsectors of IT, for example, enterprise software and network management, as well as certain businesses deemed essential, and I'll touch on that a little bit more in a second, as well as certain areas of e-commerce and healthcare. Now, there are a number of action steps that private equity managers are taking with their portfolio companies, and you can see some of those listed on page 14. First and foremost, they're focused on the safety of their portfolio companies' employees, customers, and suppliers. This includes executing business continuity plans, working from home, et cetera. Another key action is determining whether a portfolio company's operations are deemed essential and therefore allowed to remain open. That means many private equity-backed companies provide essential products and services and therefore have been allowed to continue operations to varying degrees despite the shutdown of many businesses that we're seeing in the economy. Managers have been focusing their companies on having appropriate cash and liquidity. To that end, many have instructed their companies to draw down on the revolvers, similar to what we've done here at NBPE. Managers are focused on addressing supply chain disruptions, and they have begun to implement cost reduction plans in many businesses. Now, while all of these actions sound defensive and are, managers are also beginning to analyze where and when they can go on the offense to increase market share and or conduct accretive M&A. Now, this is just a short summary of what we're beginning to see, and we will continue to update you as this unprecedented situation further develops. And I'll now hand it back over to William for some final comments.
Thank you, Peter. Now, I just want to sort of summarize where we are. And so, first, the actions we've taken is we've strengthened NBPE's balance sheet, and we're focused on capital preservation. And to that end, we've taken the decision that we're going to temporarily suspend our share buyback program. As you've heard from Peter, we're assessing the portfolio and working very closely with the lead GPs to as they wrestle with the challenges within their portfolio. And we're going to continue that work of working with the lead private equity managers to as they work through the challenges in this environment. And depending on how the market develops, and it will obviously change rapidly, we're going to be deciding on how we can best use our capital. And those include the areas listed here on page 15, whether it's supporting existing portfolio companies, making new investments, paying down debt, and returning capital to shareholders. And we appreciate that against such a rapidly evolving backdrop, we appreciate the importance of communicating with you, and we will keep doing that. And I really want to leave you with a reasonably optimistic tone. You know, whilst we know this is an uncertain time, we know the portfolio is invested in high-quality businesses, and we know that there are very high-quality GPs here who know what to do in both good times and in bad. The uncertainty in our mind is particularly around how valuations will develop during this time. And also, we don't know how the scene will unfold subsequently in the longer run. And a lot will depend on how the actual coronavirus spreads itself, and in particular, the government policy responses. And that will also determine the shape of the subsequent recovery. So that really concludes today's call, but I'd like to just emphasize that we will carry on communicating as we get more information and as the scene unfolds. So thank you very much, everyone, and that concludes the meeting.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may all disconnect.